is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom by Rav Shalom Arush, The Garden of Peace, Guide to a Happy and Wonderful Marriage. I'm reading through the Hebrew version of the book. We're on page 202, a chapter dealing with the greatness of peace. Peace is greater than anything. We shouldn't let anything stand in the way of peace, and that should be our number one priority whenever we approach any matter that can have an impact on my shalom bayit, that could have an impact on my wife, how she's feeling. First priority is to keep the peace in the home. Rav writes as follows: Gan kasher yishnam chilukei dayot, v'dvarim ha'omdim b'rumo shel olam. Even in situations where there is a difference of opinion on matters which are r'umo shel olam, at the top of the world, and even if we're talking about issues which are fundamentally important, d'varim hanogdim et hashkafat olamo, matters which relate to a person's outlook on life, like your whole purpose of life, et she'ifatav, your ambitions, or she'nireh lo kata'ut, or if something looks to you like a terrible mistake, things like that, gam az ha'kol gadol hashlom, even there too, this principle of peace applies as well. You might have thought that what's Rav Arush talking about here? He's saying peace is very important. Don't lose it on the sake of something small and irrelevant. You know, don't lose your shalom bayit because she likes cornflakes and you want Cocoa Pops or whatever it is. Buy something small. He's saying, no, even if it's the most important things in the world, and it's a question of dealing with the most important things in the world to you, whatever that might be for you, right? This rule still applies. Doesn't matter what it is, shalom bayit is more important. And so even though this means that now he has to push away that principle or that ideal, that goal that he had for the sake of peace, said, and it seems to him that he's losing out because of that. At the end of the day, he will see that this and this came into his hand. He's going to get both. Even though I had to push off my own principles, I firmly believe in the principle of giving charity to everyone that asks. Let's say I have a fundamental principle my whole life. Every single person that puts out their hand, I give them some money. It's a firmly held principle. I believe it's what Hashem wants. It's what I've decided, that that's how I'm going to live my life. And I see what I'm walking down the road with my wife, and I see a guy, a beggar, asking for money up ahead. And I reach into my pocket to get some change ready, and my wife turns to me and says, don't give him any money, I don't like the look of him. Don't give him anything. I have to throw away my principles and say, whatever you want, my wife. Right? Even if it's completely illogical to me, looks fine to me. Looks like he needs some money. No, my wife says, I'd be fair, you don't give that guy any money, I don't like the look of him, or whatever she says.
She has a better sense of things.
So let's switch it around. Let's say it's something that she knows nothing about. My business, right? I've got a big business deal with a big client coming up. And I know, whatever, I need to meet him in some place, whatever. My wife says, no, don't do.
Listen to your wife.
Listen to your wife. It doesn't matter what the issue is.
Again, she has a better sense of things.
It doesn't matter what she has a better sense of things.
No, not,
even if she's got a complete... Okay. Even if it's obvious to you, like night is day and day is night, like black and white, it's obvious to you she has no clue what she's talking about. And Hashem puts it into your head that she is clearly wrong. Right? Because it's not going to be an obvious question where maybe I don't know, maybe she knows better. No, no, Hashem is going to say, you know better here. This situation, she doesn't know what she's talking about. That's what he's going to put into your head. Hashem will put that thought into my head, that she's clearly wrong, and I'm clearly right. Even then, I have to drop it.
Right, because remember what happened with Abraham and Sarah.
Go on.
With Hagar.
Yes,
you know,
exactly. Very good example.
She has, you know, Sarah said, you know, kick her out.
Kick her out. Nachon. And Yafeh Mod. Abraham, who is chesed all his life, and doesn't do anything but chesed, that's the worst thing in the world that he could ever think of, to kick his own son out.
She couldn't have been with Abraham.
What?
She said to Abraham, you have to be with Abraham.
Nachon. And then she said, kick him out.
And she realized she made a mistake.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but for Abraham to do it, who Abraham's going to kick out his only son that he's waited 100 years for, and that's going to be the leader and take...
Because that's why I keep saying, women have a better sense. Their eyes see better. Not physically, but in...
Whatever the reason is, Hashem wants us to listen to them. Whether they're right or they're wrong, Hashem wants us to listen to them. Even if they're wrong, right? Adam HaRishon listened to his wife. It was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
His wife said, "Eat from the apple." What, you want me to eat the apple? After Hashem said, "Don't eat it." Yeah, I want you to eat it. Top, I have to eat it. He knew he has to listen to his wife. Ad can even so far, even that far. Top, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, so it's taking 6,000. It's taking 6,000 years. Correct.
Yeah. What? I don't know. So Top, you're right. If it's against halacha, call your rabbi. But otherwise, call your rabbi first. It's against halacha. You're right.
Isn't that a little extreme?
We're still
suffering 6,000 years later.
Don't know. So look, those more difficult questions, call Rabbi Eliezer or call your rabbi. Call your rabbi, because Tom, that's beyond the scope of this.
Always listen to your wife.
Nachon. Oh, okay, so if you do, then you gain both. Gan shalom yishamer, v'gan yizacher lemamesh et rasonotav. You will save, you'll guard your peace, shalom bayit, and you will also fulfill your wishes. You'll also manage to do what you want. If you give up now one thing, your wife says, "I don't want you to go into yeshiva today, I want you to stay home and wash the dishes." You say, "Yes, my wife, it's a wonderful idea." You think you've lost a day of learning, you've actually gained. You gain your shalom bayit, and you're going to gain all the other days of learning, because when she sees what mess you make of the dishes, she's going to kick you out and say, "Go to yeshiva instead." You're much better, and she sees you moping around the house all day, she says, "Go, get out of here. Go to yeshiva. Go to yeshiva." Tov, by the way, there's no school, there's no gan, there's no yeshiva on Sunday. You know that?
That's
right. Lagoma.
But there is for my girl's school.
Yes, see, for you, for here. There's no classes here.
Yeah, I know.
On Sunday. I forgot to mention that. Lamashal, for example, Binyan Musaurim, in the question of Musa, giving Musa. Let's see what it means. Kashe Adam Omed Al Da'ato B'Shem HaMusa. When a person, a husband, stands on principle on account of Musa, I don't know how to translate that to English, account of good behavior, good midot, maybe, so we'll see. But who pogeh b'shalom, and this causes damage in his peace. It turns out that he's acting in a way which is not musarit, which is not good behavior. Bachzariot, with cruelty, b'kas, with anger, you don't say about things like that. Lamana Musa, all for the sake of Musa. Right, he's trying to enforce Musa good behavior, and he's instead failing it himself. What's he saying? For example, husband tells his wife, that's not, his wife is speaking something which is questionably Lashon Hara. If the husband says to the wife, I don't think you should speak that way about your parents or whatever it is. I don't think you should speak that way about Auntie Frieda, right? That's not a nice way, it's not appropriate. So, although I think I'm doing a favor by keeping some right, I'm actually losing my shalom by it, and I'm losing the musa, because I'm acting in a way which is not musarit. It's not for me to...
And say, your wife cooked my meat.
Yeah.
So she keep bringing it up. She come home, and you shake the meat because you have no kashmir.
Okay.
You lay no kashmir.
Right.
So then you...
So...
You eat it, and you say, you eat it.
So Bli Neda, I can't give you that psak. I would think, if you ask here, Rav Elgrod, or you ask... Rav Arush, they would say Bli Neda, eat it. Why? Because as long as it's kosher, it has a heksha, but it's not the heksha you normally keep. The chumrah, you don't make a chumrah on account of someone else's expense. You don't lose your shalom by it on account of a chumrah. You're right. In most cases, it's better to eat the better, but it's kosher. It's just not the chumrah, right? So you save one thing, and you lose the shechina from your home. You lose everything else. It's not. It's not Shabbat. It's tough. It's a situation that.
Alright.
And then look, all the time. Like, because we're learning stuff all the time. I'm learning. Right, here you come here and they teach you about bugs in this, bugs in that. Check this, check that. It's very difficult. You go to your wife now and say what you've been doing for the last 20 years is wrong. That's very. You're on dodgy ground, right? My wife likes raisins in her porridge muesli thing that she makes for herself every morning. If I tell her she can't eat raisins anymore, oi, boy, we're in big trouble.
Some more raisins.
Yeah, apparently they're infested and they're very hard to check. If I tell my wife she has to check every raisin, she's going to kill me.
No, but I heard that California raisins are fine.
Not fun. So a person just has to be very careful about... What am I gaining and what am I losing here?
So raisins, we shouldn't eat at all?
Depends, I've heard that recently. Wow. That unless there are certain type of raisins, you have to check them. You have to put them in boiling water and see which floats and see what animals come out and all sorts of, right?
You definitely have to be checked, right? Raisins have to be checked.
Wow. So it can be, a person can be in difficult situation, and Rav Arash is certainly writing a general principle here. That so long as you are within at least a halakha, even a lenient opinion on halakha, don't start being Mr. Sadiq at the expense of you shalom by it. It's not worth it. Ve'im ken ma'arech yesh l'musoit azor. Right, and if you do act on principle, what have you gained by it? Avala yedeya shalom. We're on page 203 in the top paragraph. Aval al yidei hashalom, but through peace. Af shelechora umavater al otam ikronot, amosuriot lefisha. Through the way of peace, even though it seems that the man has to forego, has to waive his principles for the temporarily. Ulam bemet hu shomer al musar ikari, shehu hashalom. However, in truth, he guards the main principle, which is peace. And therefore, he will be able to, certainly, to achieve the rest of his principles that they will come. Right? But only through the way of peace is a person going to achieve what he wants to achieve. Not through the negative way. As in the secular world, there's an expression that the ends justify the means. What does that mean? It means that if you're trying to get to a principle that's really important, it doesn't really matter if you what do you say, break a few eggshells on the way, right? It doesn't stop. The ends justify the way you get there, right? But in Judaism, it's the hefer.
Normally, that has been extremely negative. Case in point, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot.
Well, their ends are also a bit dodgy, but you're right, but it can be used for all sorts of... But in Judaism, there's no such thing.
I mean, mentioned Hitler.
No, there's no such thing. So in Judaism, everything is the means, and the ends is not in my hand. Ends is in Hashem. Hashem does results. I just try and make an effort. My whole purpose in life is only on the means, the way I act. What happens and what the result is, it's not down to me. I can't predict it. I can't achieve it. I can't acquire it. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen. But it's not through me. It's from Hashem. My job is to make the effort. It's only ends, whatever only means. Whatever Hashem gives me is what he gives me, the result. So even though I think I have a principle in mind that I'm striving to achieve something important here, ridiculous, waste of time. And it's a big gava, it's arrogance. I think I can achieve anything. Can't achieve anything. Hashem achieves stuff, he does stuff. I'm just the shaliach, I'm just the middleman. I just do what I do. So my job is to act how I need to act. Heard something very nice today, this morning, a take by Rav Ofer Erez. He said like this. He said, well, I can't remember the entire inyan, but the piece that was very nice was that when a person wants to achieve a goal, for example, he wants to work on giving. How does the person work on giving? He said through the small things. What does it mean? He said every time I feel in myself an opportunity to give and I don't give, that's when I have to give. He gives an example. He says, for example, you find that when friends sit round for a meal, this is the example he gave on the tape. Example, when friends sit round for a meal, they have a very nice meal together. And at the end of the meal, it's an Israeli thing. He's an Israeli guy, so it's an Israeli party. He says, at the end of the meal, it's time for coffee. It's not maybe in a time for coffee. And everybody's like sitting there looking round, waiting for someone else to get up and make coffee for everyone. Like, you just had a nice meal, you want to sit relaxed, you want to make coffee for everyone. So normally, he said, normally the wife makes coffee. Right? If you're in a family, I don't know, not in my family, but according to him on the tape, normally the wife makes coffee. He said, it's an inbuilt thing into creation. The wife has to make coffee. But he said, generally speaking, for the rest of us, right, everyone else is waiting to get the person to make coffee. He said, at that moment that you feel like you're waiting for someone else to give to you, you should get up and give. You should get up and be the one that makes coffee. Right? He said, that's the way you're going to break that yetzer on giving, for example, to give, right? To find those places, small things, to make coffee. It's not like I'm going out and I'm starting a soup kitchen for the elderly. It's in the small things where I feel it, should get up and do it. Top. V'da, shirak ha'asher adam masigat shifu top. The Darkei Shalom should know that only when a person achieves his ideals, his aims, his goals through the ways of peace, only then is it considered like he actually truly achieved them. Right? And even though sometimes it seems that people achieve things through the ways of argument and strife, hasegim elu shabau la cheshbon sarei shel azulat, those things which a person achieves, which come on the expense of someone else, einam klum, they're not worth anything. So fam lit nakem bo, in the end, they will take revenge on him. Ve'yitzei secharo behefsado, and he will end up losing out. It doesn't say who they are, but they spiritually or practically, it's not real achievement. Anyone can achieve by bribing or by threat. It's not real. Anything that's really achieved is through the way of peace. He didn't achieve it through the way of peace. He didn't really achieve anything. Just fooling yourself. Fooling myself. Vaya ikonit. Adam tarif ladat, ishmola shalom, gam kishtok mitnayeged ladarko. Person needs to know, a husband needs to know, that he needs to guard peace, even when his wife is against his way. She doesn't agree with the way I'm going. Kagon shehu atzela nehel oreach chayim al pi haTorah. Orachayim. For example, if... Okay. So even if a wife is against the way of the husband, for example, the husband wants to act according to the Shulchan Aruch, right? He wants to follow the laws as set out in the Shulchan Aruch, right? The code of Jewish law in the way he should. And the wife, she's not interested, and she's even against him. Even here in this situation, it's forbidden to lose your peace. Ela adrabah v'adrabah la'arbo v'shalom v'ahava. Rather, on the contrary, in such a situation, a husband needs to increase the peace and love. V'ayidei tefilot rabot, and through lots of prayers, v'sichot, and conversations, v'savlanot, patience, yimsu'u et emek ha'sha'aveh. He will find the true depth. Then I'll translate that. In a way that he can also fulfill his emunah, and also to guard his shalom bayit. The kamuvan gam yikarev et ishto, and of course also this will result in his wife being brought closer, meaning she will come closer to Torah mitzvahs. Ki afilu she'me'ilo o gadol. Because even if there has been revealed to him a great light, you come home from yeshiva on a high, you never guess what I learned today. Amazing things, amazing, and you're flying because you're almost a Baal Shem Tov now, right? Nearly. You're like 80% the Baal Shem Tov after 60% Rav Nachman, 80% Baal Shem Tov. You're pretty much there, right? Gadol Ador. And you really want to influence your wife. I learned some great things about covering your hair today, my wife. She's going to love you. Right. And you want to include her in your feelings. And in your great emunah. Right? Natural. First of all, before you do anything, say anything, you need to guard your shalom bayit. Shepurusha lo la'ir la shum herot, which means that you cannot make any criticisms or comments against her. Lo lechot et da'ato aleha, and not to force your opinion on her. V'haver pamim af levater le'et ata ha'sheifoto. And in many times, even to forego, to give up for the current time, your ideals. You just learned something really good that means that you just have to completely change the kitchen and throw out all those old pots and pans that I really learned today. That's really, sorry, we've been messing it up for the last 20 years. And, sometimes I'm going to have to just look, hold on. I can't just walk in the house and start throwing things in the bin. It's not going to, right? Let's Slowly, I have to pray on it a lot, I have to think about it a lot, I have to say nothing, pray Hashem, how is this going to work, I have no idea.
In that situation,
yeah.
How do you know if you're taking the correct action?
You ask your rabbi, it's the only way to know. If you ask your rabbi and he tells you, you have nothing to worry about. You in Shemayim are clean. You listen to your Rav, doesn't matter what he told you. If he told you left is right, right is left. If he told you your wife doesn't keep Tarat HaMishpacha, you're allowed to still continue to be with her, fine. Even though the Torah says it's karet if you do that. Your Rav told you to do it, you don't have to worry. The Rav has to worry. The Rav has to answer in Shemayim if he told you something wrong. But you listen to your Rav, you don't have to worry about it.
Every rabbi can ask.
A person has to know who they're asking. If you ask someone who's a fool, if he's your Rav and you trust him, or he's the best you've got. If you're living in Argentina and you've only got one Rav and he's not the greatest Rav in the world and you've got no internet access, got no telephone, you have to ask him. So Hashem gave you that Rav. He's the only one he's given you. You can't get to Shemayim and then they throw the book at you and say, "What were you doing? Well, you listen to that guy? That's the only one you gave me. I haven't got nothing to worry about. If I do what Hashem puts in front of me, sensibly. If the guy's an idiot and there's someone who clearly knows what he's talking about, and I don't choose not to go to the one I could easily go, and I go to this one because he's going to give me an easy answer, so fine, I've got who to answer to in Shemayim when I get there. But if that's what Hashem gave me, and I've got, that's the best I can do, then that's the message Hashem wants to give me. I have to trust him 100%. That's what Hashem gave me. That's wonderful.
The caveat is, the best you can do now. In the future, you'll find something better.
Right, and if I'm concerned that this Rav doesn't really know what he's talking about, and I can't find another Rav, so I need to pray on it. I need to say, Hashem, you need to send me another Rav. I don't really trust this guy. It's all I've got at the moment. I'm going according to his rulings, but I'm not so sure he knows what he's talking about. Hashem, send me another Rav.
And he will.
And if he does, he does. And if he doesn't, so he wants you to stay with that guy. What do you want?
Yeah.
Well, ask your questions.
Don't know.
No, I can't begin that.
It's possible to get false information.
It is, but it's not possible to do something wrong in the heavenly courts that you had no choice. And honest is pator. Honest pator rachmana, says the Gemara. If you're an honest, you're forced, you have no choice, then you're free from liability. It doesn't matter what it is. Someone told you that this is kosher, eat it, and you've got every reason to trust him, and it was a piece of pig. In Shemayim, they don't touch you for that. Might you, it's not a problem. Might you're honest, yeah, I know you have, didn't know and no way of knowing. If you had a way of knowing and you chose not to, sometimes it's a different thing.
You know, many times I would ask the wrong question.
Yeah. That's always a good answer. As a lawyer, I used to say that too. As a lawyer, I used to say it too. It's a good answer. It's a good answer because it also shows that you can probably rely on him. Because someone who doesn't give you an answer to, I mean, unless he's a gaon and he actually knows. But people who just give you an answer straight off without thinking about it, no, unless they're really special, then that's also suspect. Maybe that they actually do know. Someone who says, "Let me go and check and come back to you." Oh, sounds good to me.
Also, you need to know what the details are. The devils are in the devils and details.
It's up to the Rav to ask the right questions. It could be that there's a different halacha depending on what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I just spoke now with Rav Elbrod about. It might be interesting, but. About the laws of making brachot on smells. When you smell something, there's a bracha. There's at least three, there's probably about five different brachot, depending where the smell came from. A smell that comes from a plant that grows in the ground, like mint. You say, asvei basamim, gorei asvei basamim. Something that grows on a tree, like a jasmine tree, has a nice smell. And say basamim, something that you're not sure about or is mixed. Say, gorei mine basamim. But there's a question about, you only say it if it's the ikar, it's the main thing. So for example, if you're eating something and it happens to have a nice smell, so you don't say a broth on the smell as you eat it, because the smell is secondary. Anyway, so I was asking the Rav, my wife at the moment is doing a course in aromatherapy. So, lots of different smells. And I was asking if it's appropriate to make a bracha on the essence of the plant. So he started to tell me that yes, it was, because it's for the smell, and if you get a benefit from the smell, it's... But then I added in, but I'm just learning now from my wife that actually the smell is actually secondary. The plant itself has medicinal properties, right, which is why you do aromatherapy. Aromatherapy is not to make your room smell nice. That's called an air freshener. Aromatherapy is for medicinal, it has qualities. So even if it didn't smell that way, you'd still use that same plant for that same ailment. So he said, in that case, there's no bracha. Right? So just change the whole sack. Yes or no? Oh, in that case, no. Right? So the rabbi needs to know. But whatever you rely on, whatever he says, you can rely on it. Tov, any more questions, answers, or...